or you can do all those things and so much more. Just grab a seat in the chair or the floor. Sit back, relax, recline. While she drops another casual line. You're tuned into Casually Molly with Molly and Boogie.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Casually Molly podcast. I am your host, Molly Ambergy. And after a few months of a hiatus, we'll put it that way, I am so happy to be back and returning to record our second half of the season 8 season. Very exciting stuff. Before we get into our upcoming guests, I did want to let everybody know that our comedy showcase, This Is Casually Happening, is returning back to the Golden Hoosier on Wednesday, November 15th and Wednesday, December 13th. On November 15th, we are so excited because we are going to have headliner Mary Jane. She's been on plenty of our shows. She won 2021's Comedian of the Year. You won't want to miss out on that. And of course, we've got our features, Emily Zell and Ellie Kirchhoffer. Emily Zell is a Midwest favorite and also a Funny Bone favorite. And of course, we have Ellie Kirchhoffer, who is a favorite all over the Midwest as well, and along with our showcase, got recently recognized in the November 2023 issue of St. Louis Magazine. On Wednesday, December 13th, we will have headliner J.B. Buchanan. He's been making waves in comedy and traveling with Samuel Comeau from America's Got Talent, and of course, other local favorites such as Jake Beckman and Meredith Hopping and your girl will be hosting both shows. So just make sure to check that out on our website, thecasuallymollypodcast.com. You can also check out our tickets on eventbrite.com too. And just either if you've got some questions, you're like, hey, I'm looking for tickets. What can I do? Maybe we need an interview for the show. No problem at all. Just email casuallymolly@gmail.com. Now that we've got all of our excitement out of the way for This Is Casually Happening, what's going to casually happen now is we are going to talk about our upcoming guests. They have a great podcast called That's Messed Up, where they break down a classic episode of Law & Order SVU. Yes, that's right. If you were obsessed with it like I am and still are, this is going to be the episode for you. Comedians Lisa Traeger and Kara Klank were absolutely hilarious, and I'm not just saying that because they were on this podcast, but they were amazing. And if you needed a good laugh about Law & Order, you can also laugh about Bravo. We just dive into Salt Lake City, Below Deck, you name it, Luann de Lesseps, we covered it. And of course, having this be in St. Louis, I couldn't resist but ask them about their appearance on Andy Cohen's Clubhouse. So if you are interested in any of the topics, which you should definitely listen to this episode right now. Thanks so much, everyone. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Casually Molly podcast. I am your host, Molly Ambergy, where we interview different artists, comedians, and entertainers, both locally as well as from around the country. Of course, for anybody that's familiar in the area, we have a beloved comedy club here, Helium Comedy Club St. Louis, and you don't want to miss this upcoming show. It is going to be happening November 9th at Helium. Let me tell you what, you better get those tickets because the reserved options have already sold out. These girls are hilarious. They are known for their hit podcast, That's Messed Up. Please give it up for Lisa Traeger and Kara Klank, everybody. Yes, the crowd is going wild. Thank you.
St. Louis.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you again. I know we talked about this earlier before we started recording, but thank you for joining us from your hotel rooms. Where are you guys? Are you guys in the same place right now? What's going on?
Yeah, we're in Detroit.
Okay.
We're about to do a show here tonight.
Yeah. Oh, we were in Toronto last night and we'll be in Pittsburgh tomorrow. So it's tight. It's fun.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, how have the shows been going? I know we talked about this a little bit too, but what can we expect for people? Obviously, people that will be listening are big fans of the podcast, but I know you had mentioned drag along. So why don't you talk a little bit for those drag alongs that are listening that are like, hey, why should we get excited for the show? Just let them know what's up and what we should expect.
I mean, we're really funny and talented and we have a great dynamic, not to toot our own horn. But, you know, we get like sad boyfriends that don't want to be there. And by the end, they're leaned in and they're laughing, you know? So one bearded boyfriend at a time from coast to coast. We pour over.
So. You don't have to be a listener of our podcast to enjoy our live show. You don't even have to watch SVU. We get people that listen to our podcast that don't even watch the show. They don't even know what characters look like until they see our gorgeous PowerPoint that we do in our live shows.
That's my favorite. When a friend goes, that's what munch looks like. Legendary.
As a fan of Law & Order SVU, I'm loving, I was like, oh my God, Munch. But of course, like, you know, my man Stabler, I'm always there for him. Yeah. So that was like my dream husband as a child growing up. So the fact that you guys are doing this, like I forgot, like when he left the show, you don't know, I mean, I'm sure listeners, I was so devastated. I was like, there goes my husband. There he goes. But what, I gotta know, what made you guys decide? Like, did you just both have an obsession with SVU? Like, what made you decide, like, hey, we need to make a PowerPoint, we need to make a show, we got to make a podcast about this? Like, what were the humble beginnings that got it to where it is today?
Well, the podcast came first. And basically, we both had seen every episode of SVU multiple times. I mean, both of us have traveled for comedy for a long time. It's obviously a huge hotel show, but in general,
it's on mute, like, right now. It's on mute on my TV in this hotel at the moment. Like, in, I'm looking at your husband's Stabler at this very moment.
Yes.
So you liked a rough man. I am judging you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We all grew up on a man who just, like, is really
toxic masculinity.
Yes.
Oh, remember, you know, things have changed. Now I definitely have somebody who's a little bit more gentler in my life. So
yeah, I hope he's not throwing you against filing cabinets. But
oh God, no.
we unless that's what you're into. No, but yeah, like we started the podcast as like sort of a way to, you know, showcase our love of the show, but also like a way into true crime because we're both really into true crime. And then we also interview actors from the show, which we love as well, because we'll talk to people not only about their SVU roles, but their careers and life choices and stuff like that. And we're both little chatty Cathys and we like to talk to people. So that's that. And then when we decided to start touring with the show, we were like, all right, let's cut the true crime part out of the live show because it's, you know, for a lot of people, this is a night out. They got a babysitter. They don't need to hear about somebody getting strangled to death and left on railroad tracks, you know? So we cut that out and we decided to do like a fun PowerPoint with it too, so that there's like a visual aspect. And then we play some games and
we do the episodes on the road that are not based on true crime. So for the podcast, they're true crime. And then we try to pick like the cult favorites, the really kind of more wacky episodes for our live shows where, you know, it's not as gruesome. Sure, there's a dead person, but it's not, you know, a pile of murdered children, stuff like that. We try to keep it more light in the live shows.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely. That totally makes sense. And I can definitely see, like, even though are you guys like, obviously you're in different rooms right now, but you guys have the best dynamic just even coming off of the screen. So if anybody's watching, like, this is amazing. I love it. You know, speaking of though, like with the live shows, you talk about like, oh, you know, with the, we kind of keep it light and everything. Was there like a specific audience reaction that you can remember that you were like, oh, this is super memorable? That's like a core memory for you.
Well, we have one deleted scene that we like to play, and it's really shocking. And so we really like the reaction from the audience every time we play it. People are shocked, and they like, what's that? What is it called? Gasp. They gasp. and we've recently started taping their reactions because it is, it makes us happy.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like it's like when somebody's going down a roller coaster and you've got a picture probably and you're like, oh my gosh, you look back on that. That's probably what you're doing when you're looking back.
Yeah, we're
this.
Trying to do like a Blumhouse super cut of like, you know, when they show people in the movie theater like freaking out of a jump scare.
Yes.
That's our vibe.
Oh, I love it.
But in
it's
general,
not a scary thing. It's a shocking thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
You have to come to the show if you want to find out what it is.
Yeah, that's a real tease we did. the reactions are cute. I don't know if this is as much of a reaction, but I know both Karen and I really love. We love seeing family, like mom and daughters come out. Sisters are there. Sometimes people bring their dads. Or it's like childhood best friends who've been friends for decades and they share their like our love of SVU. And we love just seeing like connections between people. It's really cheesy, but I really like seeing families and friendships.
There you go. See, that's an uplifting part of a comedy podcast. We also like family relationships. We sometimes have a cheesy thing, but you can also get a gruesome episode out of it too. So there's a lot of balance at the show. Exactly why you should come, because tickets are selling, obviously. I'll also talk about, you guys are both, you know, comedians. What made you, I know this is like kind of a generic question, but was there a specific reason why comedy was big for you guys and you felt drawn for it, especially women in the industry? I have a lot of girlfriends who would be so interested in knowing what made you start in comedy clubs or wherever your origin story began.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this isn't why I started, but I like the hours. I like the casual nature. I like not having a boss. You know, it's like a good time. Mm-hmm. You get to be honest with yourself and with others and connect. You get to drink at work. You don't have to wake up in the mornings. It's like kind of, except for flights, I'm lying. but I love the honesty in between people. I mean, that's a lie. We know a lot of crazy liars too. But what got me into it, I think I was meant to do it. I didn't know it was a thing you can do. And then once I like stumbled into it accidentally at an open mic, I was like, oh, this is the best. I love talking. No one can argue. It's my opinion. This is the best. So it really fits my personality of wanting to talk all the time and being casual. You can wear what you want. Like, you get to be yourself. It's really a perk.
Absolutely. What about you, Kara?
Well, I mean, I'm the oldest of six kids, so I just like have always been competing for attention, I guess, which is, you know, I think at the bottom of all comedians' hearts is that we love attention and to make people laugh. But yeah, I started out doing improv and I was like, I would never do stand up, like repeating the same material. Come on. The magic of improv is the only thing for me. And then I was like, I started stand up out of spite. I saw a friend do it and I was like, I could do that. And I started doing it like because of that. And I loved it so much right away and was like, this is so much better than improv. Like, you're just on your own. Like, when you do well, you do well. When you do badly, you do badly. It's like your own thing. And I do love to work in group settings, but with stand up, I like that it's kind of like your own thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, these are great answers. I love that there was a variety of something where it's just like, oh, I started this in spite, and it's like, oh, I got to be myself. It's great. I love it. Which leads me to my next question. So obviously, like, a lot of comedians have podcasts, right? Like, clearly, even in our studio, I do comedy. We've got this interview podcast. But when you guys are doing something like That's Messed Up, which you should again see at Helium Comedy Club St. Louis on November 9th. just going to keep casually saying this until people buy all the tickets in the house. What is the difference, I guess, for your delivery when you're doing stand up versus when you're doing a live podcast show for an audience? Like, what do you see difference wise or maybe the same when you're doing one or the other? What's kind of your thought process on that?
I think I'm a little more desperate when I do stand up. Like, I just need constant laughter, validation, nonstop. And I feel like with the podcast, it's a little bit, you know, there are moments where they're describing what fluids are found on a body. And so it's like the moments of calm or the moments, and we get to work off of each other, but it is more conversational, I would say. Not as focused on thing. It's like, you know, if Kara says something or something happens in an episode, I can jump in with a story. And I guess I could do that with stand-up too. But I would say it's more casual. I feel more casual. We're sitting, we have each other, and the people are obsessed with us. Oftentimes with stand-up, there's strangers there that don't know who like I am, let's say. And you have to win people over. And here people, they really do like us.
Oh, yes.
Well, they didn't come to a comedy club thinking like, okay, who's this? Make me laugh, you know, whereas like these people kind of like know what they're coming for. But if you don't know what you're coming for, you can still come. But I agree. Like, I'm the same as Lisa. Like, when you're doing stand up, if there's silence, you're like, oh no, oh no. But like, you can let it breathe a little bit more on a live podcast.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, did you want to say something, Lisa?
Oh, yeah. And we allow, I mean, sometimes our girls get drunk and I would say we let them talk a little bit more in their podcast shows than stand up. If they need to shout out, we let them have it. Absolutely. Because they're listening to us as they're living their lives. So I think, what is it? The paranormal, not paranormal, parasocial relationship. And so yeah. Sometimes they'll just start talking to us while we're on stage because they're used to it.
Oh, I love it. And I love that they get so into it. It's so interactive. I think that's awesome. And especially like, that's what the nice part is about podcasts too, is that there is a comfort level. So when you go in, you're familiar with everything, you're able to see everyone. And speaking also too, since you guys are so awesome, how did you guys meet? And you were like, hey, I feel like we should create this podcast together.
Well, I was we knew of each other because comedy. Right. Mm-hmm. But when I moved to New York, I got to perform on the show Kara ran called If You Build It.
Ooh, okay.
And we bonded over SVU immediately. It was sick. It just like came out.
She was like, you have to follow this Twitter account called Doink Doink. It tells you whenever there's an SVU or a criminal intent or a regular Law and Order playing and what channel it's on. And I was like, oh my God, yes. And then I had this idea for the podcast through like a conversation with another friend that was like, I just was saying, oh, I've seen every episode of SVU like multiple times. And she was like, oh, you should do a podcast. And then I actually had another friend that I was working with on it, but she was like, I feel like I'm really busy for this. And Lisa was at my house working on a separate project. And I was like, wait a minute. And it was just like a lightning strikes kind of moment where I was like, fuck, I forgot that. Sorry, I don't know if we're allowed to swear on this.
Oh, you can do whatever you want. You're totally okay.
I was like, oh, I forgot that that's like one of the first things you and I ever talked about was that we both love this show. So
oh my God.
I mentioned it to her and was like, would you be down to do this? And like within a week, her at the time manager like had us set up in like meetings pitching it. So it was a quick, we hit the ground running, as they say.
Yes, I'm so glad that you did. And obviously it's worked out for you very well.
Well, yeah, and yeah. Kara mm-hmm. came prepared. So like when we started, there was multiple spreadsheets. So we were ready to go, you know what I mean?
Get out, love a
she
good spreadsheet.
She had the episodes ready, the crimes organized, like everything was kind of ready to go.
Yes. Oh my. And clearly it worked out. And so, yeah, like I said, love a good spreadsheet, love the prepared. And it's
great. But it makes sense. Oh, go ahead. Now that I know mm-hmm. Kara so well, it's like, of course, it's a podcast with the most amount of homework you can ever imagine. We have to do so much work.
Yeah.
I'm curious now that I wasn't even thinking about this as a question, but, you know, you're saying like there's a lot of work. Like how much work behind the scenes do you feel like you put in with all the spreadsheets
and whatnot?
Well,
we have to like bounce around the season in the appropriate way. Like we have to, you know, spread it out. Have we not done enough episodes from season 10? What about season 17? I mean, there's 24 seasons of this show and over 500 episodes. So there's that. Then we have to, we watch the episode and recap it. Then the other one, whoever's not doing that, even though the other one has to watch the episode too, the other one researches the crime that it's based on. And that can be really in depth, depending on whether we're talking about like, you know, a one night incident or like a serial killer. And then we interview an actor from the show, and that's like, have they been in multiple episodes? Do we need to watch their other episode? Do we have to like check out their IMDb, look like their Wikipedia, find out all about them so that we can like come up with interesting questions to ask them? So it ends up being a lot of prep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think yeah, that's crazy.
And mm-hmm. like, and then for the live shows, we're making the PowerPoints and then the notes for the show. And then we don't want to repeat cities with the episodes we have. And so it's like shuffling kind of where we do the episode, because sometimes people will go to multiple cities. And so if the cities are close, we try not to overlap. But in terms of crime research, it's like sometimes it's a small town crime. There's a couple articles that didn't really become national news. It's a straight case, you know, guilty, you're in jail, it's fine. But then you get the Scott Petersons, the Eileen Wuornos, you know, and those have decades of information.
Yes.
And so that's sometimes, or like lots of documentaries. And so sometimes it's so much information and you have to filter through it all and come up with your own creative way to talk about the case that hasn't been done a bunch of times. But also on the other side, like sometimes it's such a small case that it's impossible to find information, or the judge had a, not a chokehold, a gag order. So like no one could talk to the press during it. And so then you're signing up for these weird papers in the middle of nowhere. And so it just, it always depends a little bit.
No, I'm so impressed because I asked that because it just jogged my memory. You mentioned spreadsheets, but I feel like people all the time, they listen to a podcast and it's like, great, like yours, right? It has a great following. It's really exciting. People love the niche of it. But I feel like people don't really think about, like, it's just like, oh, they just fly in, they talk about the episode. Here's a PowerPoint that you just had laying around and that's that. So I really respect the both of you for, you know, doing what you're doing and the prep work that you go into it. Cause then it pays off, right? Cause then you end up at Andy's clubhouse. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the goal. We almost quit after we did that, you know?
Oh my gosh. So yeah. Cause obviously our podcast, as we mentioned earlier, it's in St. Louis and we're big fans of Andy Cohen here, his hometown. He's got the Cardinals hat and his St. Louis gear in the different bookcases and whatnot on the show. But why don't you tell us a little bit about that and what it was like being, were you guys at the bar, right?
Were you? Yeah, we were the bartenders.
Okay. Yes. Absolutely. What was it like being a bartender in the clubhouse?
I mean it was a thrill. Amazing. We're like huge, yeah, Bravo fans to the point, and we each brought a friend who also was obsessed. But like as we walked into the room, there was a cardboard cutout of Andy Cohen, and I was like, we have to take a photo. And then it hit us that like, no, we're gonna see the real Andy Cohen, you know? I was just like so excited by the cardboard that like the idea would be a real man. It was wild. The green room is decorated. The wallpaper is so beautiful. It's little gemstones. Everyone is so nice that works there. And they get you boozed up. So that's kind of fun. They give you drinks.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But I fucked up. I was too starstruck. He would ask questions and I felt like I was a short-circuiting robot. I like couldn't put words together. I was so excited. But he could tell we loved him. And he said, he goes, aww, I love the bartenders. And he doesn't really engage with the bartenders that often. So that felt huge.
Good. Yeah. Absolutely.
He told us we were like his hype squad. And we were like, yes, forever and always. So,
oh my God,
it was awesome. And yeah, it was so fun.
Oh my goodness.
And our outfits were cool. Like,
oh, the outfits were cute.
It's always nice to do, you know, things where you get some glam and...
Oh no, the pictures were so cute. Of course, when I was stalking you guys on Instagram, I was like, oh, and I'm a Bravo aficionado myself, obviously. So I was really excited. Are you like, do you guys have like a specific show on Bravo that you're both obsessed with? Should we expect another podcast from that niche? What's happening?
Well, we have a Patreon, people. Oh yeah. Oh. We do have a Patreon that's called it's patreon.com/namedropping because our Patreon is name dropping. And we talk about Bravo on there. We talk about Drag Race. We talk about all kinds of stuff. It's sort of like our not SVU combos. And, but I would say like I'm Housewives mostly all the way. And then like I dabble a little bit in Vanderpump Rules and stuff like that, but mostly offshoots of the Housewives. Lisa's more comprehensive, the Below Decks, the seasonal houses, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but last night in the hotel in Toronto, we watched the new, the premiere of Winter House, which was exciting.
And I was sold.
Done. but I'm really excited for the return of Real Housewives of Miami. Like that, I think they are really bringing it. But I love everything Andy's throwing down. Watch what happened. I watch it all. Or I'll even watch spy games. I watch the reality show where people were competing to be spies. Like I will watch the bottom of the barrel.
Yes, I love, see, and I love the Housewives, but my best friend, she's all about the Below Deck thing. But so she's been telling, I have to watch Winter House now, especially now that both of you are sold. I better get on that now that it should be up on streaming services, I think. But that's awesome. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It'll definitely be on Peacock, but Winter House is, they're all, except for one couple, they're all single. And that's pretty fun because we're just there to hook up and get drunk and fight. So
there we go.
We love that.
Yeah, we do. I love it. And then of course, that's great.
And we always talk about how like now with Bravo, with all the crimes being committed, it is like, we hope that one of the crimes are used for an SVU and then we can cover a Bravo crime, but the fact that they haven't had an Erica Jane episode or a Jen Shaw kills me. I like don't understand it.
Yes. Oh, I'm totally with you. I just finished, I was behind on Salt Lake City, and now that I've watched it, I'm like, oh my God, the bus, everything, Jen Shaw, what's happening? It's wild.
Oh, you're there. Have you caught up on this season where they went to the Trixie Motel?
Oh, no, I haven't, but I've seen everything on TikTok. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to watch Winter House and then watch the Trixie Motel and get back to you on November 9th when everybody gets their tickets to come see your show.
Yeah. So. Sometimes I forget I don't work for Bravo. No, Salt Lake, I just love to be entertained. Both Kara and I are big TV people in general, you know.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
But Bravo delivers in a way that I'm really grateful for.
It brings people together, we always say. Bravo mm-hmm. really brings people together.
Oh, yeah. Especially when the Vanderpump Rules scandal went down. I feel like there was just like, you know, obviously like, and Tom Sandoval is from St. Louis. And like, man, I got to tell you.
Oh, no.
The unity that we had of hatred towards him. It was just so like you believe in humanity after you're like, oh, you're a Vanderpump Rules. Oh, you hate Tom too. Okay, great.
Yeah, you know, so. It's like your hometown.
Do you see
villain.
His parents?
So, no, I've never seen his parents. But I was like, I got to tell you.
I mean, the mom must be bad too, because he was still dating Ariana, brought Raquel to St. Louis, the family, mm-hmm. and they still have never reached out to Ariana. They were together for 9 years. So
I know. Yeah. Oh, no, I am with
but
you.
But he also took a bunch of their money to put into his restaurant. So he's not the best son either, I guess.
Maybe they just need to keep in touch just to know that they'll get it back. But it's like, I cringed during the reunion because they were showing like pictures of him and Rachel / Raquel, whatever her name is. And there was a picture of them. And so you're like, oh, I know where that is. And so I was walking with my husband and I just went, oh, I can't. And he goes, why? Like, we're just enjoying it. I'm like, this is just where Tom and Raquel stood. And I need to walk away. Now. It's tainted for me. And he's like, we're just going for a walk, babe. I'm like, I just can't. I can't anymore. So it brings people together. Now I got to check out Winter House. And now I'm so intrigued now about what's happening at the Trixie Hotel. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, but, Salt Lake.
Yeah. Oh, what
another bus moment. There's another, not as epic, of course. No FBI involvement, but a pretty good party bus moment.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I feel like in Salt Lake, everything happens on that bus. So it's always, and I'm excited for Beverly Hills to come back too. So I'm a big Beverly Hills girl for Beverly Hills Housewives.
Well, there's so much coming at us soon. We got Beverly Hills, Miami, Potomac. It's all coming back.
Oh my
so
God.
Soon.
I know. I don't know how I'm going to fit it all in, but I'm going to make it happen. So, and you guys have inspired me.
And our first episode of our podcast we ever did was on an episode called Bully. And Luann De Lesseps is in that episode.
God bless. God bless Luann De Lesseps. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The Countess. Yes.
The Countess is there. So that's like a nice tie-in.
Oh, no, that is perfect. I still am obsessed when she did her music videos for Money Can't Buy You Class. And I still sometimes, to make myself laugh, I'll be like, oh, gotta love Luann. So how do you guys feel about the New York reboot, though? Are you guys fans? Are we into it? What's happening? Have you seen it?
We're fans. We're watching it. I watch every episode. It's fine. But I just recently was hanging out with a friend and we watched some old New York. These women, they can't come close. I need more drinking. I need more mess. I need fight. Like, these women are just too composed and too behaved and too, like, calculated in what their goals are. And so, and it's not fun. The vacations aren't fun because no one is drinking. It's like they're just crying and trauma bonding, which, you know, we're getting to know these people. They're thrown into an impossible situation where we have high expectations. And it's fine, and I like them. It's just, they're too private. It's not the same. Kara,
and then they're just, well, I also feel like, you know, it is tough because those original ladies were of a generation where not everybody knew the housewife. It wasn't such an institution. So we were getting a little bit more of a nap, even though OC existed first, it's like we were getting a little bit more of a real reality.
Yeah.
And with these women, it's like they're producing themselves. They know what it's supposed to happen. They're nitpicking. They're fighting over truly dumb shit. I mean, I love a fight over dumb shit on a reality show, but it's right. Like it's like, oh, you took her phone and now, you know, like, I don't know, all this, like, it just feels like, oh, I didn't like that comment you made the other day. It's not the same as like people falling into bushes and people calling people's shoes their Frankenstein shoes. And like, you know, we just had so many good classics with the old, with the lady. I also will say it, I'm reverse ageist about the housewives. I like them to be older. I like them to have lived a life before they get on this show. And we just have a bunch of like women in their mid 30s on this current one. And it's like, I just want them a little older personally.
Oh, I totally agree. Like I said, I miss Luann. I loved like all of her stuff too. What was the,
they were
like,
just out in the, well, no, yeah, Luann lied about it, but she, you know, we caught her being slutty at least. I just want a little more mess. I'm a little more silly. And that's what the Salt Lake motel episodes gave me, where I just want obscure fights that make no sense about topics where no one should be fighting about. Like, I want slogans. I want catchphrases. I want silliness. And now it's just all about the glam and seeming better than someone else. And it's just like annoying to me.
Yeah, it's a different
But question. I like it.
Mm-hmm. No, I do too.
Yeah, we both are big New York lovers, and so like the city itself. So it's like I always like to watch those shows because I like to see where they go in New York, what they're doing in New York, you know. But I'll give them another season. I'm loving Jenna Lyons.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
And I like Brynn, but
that's,
you know,
because we
like...
love Jenna Lyons because she's chic and sexy and cool, 100%. And we're obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. But she's not giving.
Yeah.
As a housewife, she's just like drinking a Shirley Temple and silent in the corner.
and going, I love when I miss the drama. It's like, no, baby, that's not the assignment.
Love when I miss the drama.
Yeah. Like, do I want gifts from her? I want to be in her closet. I want to have a good time. Yeah. I, you know, I'll decorate a Christmas tree with Jenna and her family, but I just miss like turtle time. I want I watched the Cartagena episodes. I mean, Ramona is in a wheelchair going down the cobble streets of Cartagena before they all shit themselves on a boat that was about to capsize. I mean, it's season one.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll give them some time to catch up to, you know, shitting on the floor Cartagena style.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Oh my gosh. Yes. I see, that speaks to me. I love it. And to tie this in, what I love the most is that you guys are going to be here on November 9th. Please come. Please come see this show. Even if you are a Bravo aficionado, maybe you like, obviously, Law & Order SVU. Maybe you don't even know, but you're like, hey, I need somewhere to go on November 9th. Get those tickets because they are selling. Reserved is already sold out. So we got some general admission still available. And you can see these ladies, not in Andy's Clubhouse, but you will be here in Helium Comedy Club. St. Louis. What an upgrade. Let's see here. Now, before we head out, thank you so much for joining us. You guys have definitely given me a good laugh here in St. Louis. What I always tell people, we always have like a question at the end, like, what are you going to casually do now that this episode has ended?
Oh, what are we going to do?
What are you going to do?
Rush. I got to get ready quickly.
Okay.
Because my nephew actually lives around here. And... Aww. I'm going to take him out to a little dinner. Ooh. I don't know. So he's going to pick me up and that'll be really cute. And then he'll come to our show. I think he's going to come. He said he has work early in the morning. I doubt it's that early, but so I'm really excited. And then Kara, will probably get ready right now. And then she does sound check. And I'm not allowed to be at sound check because I do cause problems.
Well, you passed through this sound check with flying colors, so you'd be great.
Yeah, but I had an attitude. I have to be kept away.
Okay, cool. All right, Kara. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, no, I'm
just kept
gonna,
away.
I'm probably gonna throw some SVU on my hotel TV while I do my hair, and then I'm gonna go to a sound check and hope everything goes smoothly, and then I just will drink wine by myself in the green room and wait for Lisa to get there.
Oh my gosh, I love it. We got dinner plans, you got wine plans. It's great. I feel like we have everything covered. Now I know what I'm supposed to watch after this, and now I'm supposed to get tickets to go see you guys at Helium Comedy Club at November 9th. So I
Thank
appreciate
you so
the
much
both
for
of
being
you.
The pluggiest podcast host of all time. I love it. A lot of times at the very end, they're like, "Where can they find you? Look it up on the internet." Bye, guys. Like, and this is great.
Oh, no, my second major, I was a theater major, but my second major was in journalism and marketing, and they are all about the plugs. So
yeah,
I try to make it comical, though, because of course everybody's like, we get it, Molly. We're going there on November 9th. And I'm like, I want you to almost like whether you want to be there in spite or just our spite or honesty, whatever you want to do, go to the show. It's going to be
super fun.
Are
you going to come?
So, oh, I'm going to be there. I'm actually.
Oh, okay, we'll see you there.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah, it's my birthday month. So I turned 33 that Saturday before. So this is going to be a birthday treat to myself, is to come see you guys. There we go.
Love it.
And maybe I'll bring my friends and we'll get the cheesy moments of everybody liking Law and Order SVU.
Lately, a lot of the listeners have been inspired by the Taylor Swift Eras Tour and have been making friendship bracelets, and they're so funny. And
I'm in.
People come by themselves and they meet other friends. Like, we meet people at when we come back places that are like, we met at your show last year and now we're friends and we've come back together.
Oh,
so,
my God.
You know, we're bringing people together over sex crimes. So come on down.
We also heard our listeners are great tippers and they love hummus. So,
done.
If that sounds like you, get your butt to helium.
Oh my gosh. Well, I appreciate you. I know you both have to go, but thank you so much for your time. And I'll see you on November 9th. Yay.
Awesome.
Bye guys.
Thanks,
have a
Molly.
Good one. Thank you.